This is a joint interview, a meeting of the minds, Blind Cool Tech and...
And Jonathan. Oh, the Mosin Explosion.
Yay.
Yes, indeed.
We're happy. Hey, or no, happy. Is that the phrase?
Are we happy because it's a joint effort? We should say there are no joints.
Right.
Just in case anybody gets the wrong idea. You know.
We're having fun. That's the expression I was looking for.
We
Sorry.
Are having fun.
Yes. Okay. And you're asking me what we're recording this on, which is the IFP-899 iRiver. Doesn't talk. You know, I think you probably know as well as I do that none of these solid-state iRivers are probably ever going to talk. It's mainly the hard disk-based ones.
Yeah, how are they getting on with that? They've got this Rockbox thing, haven't they, that they're working on?
Yeah, and they just announced a week or so ago that they've got the voice working on it now. But the unfortunate part is they don't have the playback working yet.
There, gosh.
So you actually have, when you boot up, you have a choice of which firmware you want, the original or the Rockbox. So if you want to play music or record or anything, you go into the original. And then if you want to just check out the Rockbox features, you select the Rockbox.
Okay.
So they patch the original firmware and then offer you a choice of going to it or their firmware. It's kind of a cool idea.
It is. You know, it's nice that somebody's even making the effort.
What can we do to get the manufacturers interested in Rockbox so that we can get new machines with the Rockbox on it?
See,
that's the question.
Well, and this raises the whole wider issue of accessibility to appliances generally, because while access to computers isn't perfect, I guess I'd venture to say that the next frontier has to be accessible appliances, because it's just getting harder and harder to buy, I mean, microwaves and washing machines, but even things that blind people used to know and love using, like stereo systems, are becoming so menu-driven and graphical.
Absolutely.
You know, and people have tried. We've heard, I know, Greg Vanderheiden out at the Trace Research Center in Wisconsin. He's been evangelizing about various things for years, but nothing seems to have stuck yet in terms of universal ways of transmitting information, say, to devices like a Braille note or similar.
Do you ever think people would accept the PC as their stereo system? I know that's just one example of an appliance, but...
Well, actually, I was interested in your review that you did a while ago of Windows Media Edition.
Media Center.
Uh-huh. And I said to Julia, that's what we need, you know, because you've got absolute control over it. You can put your screen reader on it.
Yeah.
So, I think that's increasingly the way to go.
I have noticed, to be fair, a few disadvantages of watching DVDs with your computer. Of course, you have the inevitable crashes once in a while, which is really annoying when you're in the mood to watch a movie and you just want to pop it in. You got your popcorn and your Dr. Pepper. And,
oh, yes.
But... The other day, I was watching my granddaughter, and I had recorded some Rugrats for her. So I put one on and took off, went downstairs, and started doing podcast business. And she started whining. I couldn't figure out what was going on, because she can't really express herself yet. Well, my girlfriend, she's two.
Oh, how cute.
And she is a cutie. My girlfriend comes in, she says, Larry, how come every time you do this, the screensaver's on? So the poor kid wasn't able to see it. So there are a few, you know, there's advantages to having a dedicated appliance. But I think those are little quirks that can be worked out, you know, just to have that kind of accessibility. Of course, that doesn't answer the problem of microwaves and dishwashers.
No. Don't try and fry your Windows Media Center Edition. Yeah, we should say that, especially for my listener, I know I have one sometimes, that we're actually sitting here at APH in Louisville. And I'd like to ask you about how you got into podcasting, though, because, you know, we caught up, was it 2 years ago or something, when I interviewed you on ACB Radio. Mm-hmm. We had a great chat about your past life with ASAP and all those good things, and then... next thing I heard of you was when you popped up on these podcasts. How did you actually get into that and make a decision to kind of... You are the most prolific podcaster I know. So how did you get into that?
Well, I've got a lot to say, Jonathan. I'm going to slow down to one a day one of these days. I've got two from this morning. I need to get up there still. No, actually, it started out... I wanted to make some... you know, we've got this great product here called the Bookport. And I wanted to have some content that was ours. So I started out just doing training, little training modules on the book port. I did three of them right off the bat. And while I was doing them, I was trying to figure out how to make this podcasting stuff go, you know. And then I started taking the recorder with me to bowling and to then walking the dog. And it just sort of bit me. The more I did, the more I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So
Now, I want to ask you about the book port. But so, it's because when you started, I guess they were quite structured. You know, you'd get segments on how you do such and such with the book port, or information about what's new in the firmware and that kind of thing.
And I still do those.
Yeah. But so, see, for people like me, I'm traveling a lot, and the time I have to listen to podcasts is limited. So how do you kind of react to people who say, well, you know, heck, Larry's got a lot of knowledge and a lot of information, and I just want to get to the heart of that, and I don't necessarily want the walks to work and all that other stuff. So is there a way that you can compartmentalize that, sort of meet both of those markets?
Absolutely. And I had all that arranged until I overwhelmed our computers here, and I've been scrambling. I finally have got everything moved over and working, but one of the things I had just implemented was a filtering system so that you could select which XML feed you wanted, and I had three categories. I see now I really should have made four, because a lot of people are just interested in sound seeing tours. So I had a category that was training, strictly training, and then the next one was training plus demos and reviews, and then the third one was everything. Well, the third one now is going to be sound seeing tours, and then the fourth one is going to be everything.
See, some people might just like the walks to work.
Well, and I'm going to actually let them select either this and above or just this too. And it's really easy to do with this system I've got set up for doing them.
Right. So you'll be bringing that back.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. It's just, like I say, just the other day I finally got the last old one up on the new system. I'm using archive.org now. I don't know if you knew or not.
There are a number of these cropping up. I went with Libsyn, which I like, but there are a number of them. There's Podlot or Podlet or something.
Something like that.
Various other ones. So why did you go for that one?
I like their philosophy. It's not just podcasting, it's the preservation of digital data, our digital heritage. So they actually have a project going called the Time Machine, where they have taken snapshots of the web since, I'm going to say, 96 or 7. So you can actually go and browse. Yeah, but you know, it does need preserving.
Oh, I know, but it would be quite amazing to go back and look at the web as it was.
It really would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It is fun.
Yes, it was different in my day. You know?
Try looking up podcasting in 98.
And so is it a free service?
Yeah, it is. It's all...
Because, you know, I guess I'm a veteran of the whole internet boom of 1999. When I started ACB Radio, we could do everything for free. You could have an unlimited number of live 365 stations, and we used to have the MSN Messenger in those days offered free unlimited telephone calls.
Yeah.
And if they went under, then there was another one, I forget what it was called. And you could do it all for free, and then gradually reality set in, you know. And so I've always become a little bit reticent about free services. You know, I sort of wonder how good is their bandwidth, what's going to give.
Well, yeah, I'm watching that too, but I'm prepared to make a quick move now if I have to too. And I've got my domain set up in my feed, so I'm actually going to be going through FeedBurner, but I'm going to use my address and redirect so I can decide whether I want to go there or not, and where I want each file to reside. I've got a question for you along those lines too, though, with the radio show. I was listening to your show this weekend, and great show. I told my our listeners this morning all about it, so they'll be tuning in, I'm sure, and they definitely need to be. But one question I had for you is, what are you doing about the RIAA and playing these Beatles songs and I mean, are you categorized as a radio station and paying royalties, or?
No, I just figure that no one's going to come just after such a little small, blind man.
Now that's a good approach.
Well,
I like
well,
it.
Well, the thing is, I mean, apart from anything, I just find the idea that that you can't, you know, if you're talking over the tracks and stuff like that, I mean, honestly, it's just plainly ridiculous that people think that they can do anything with the tracks.
Okay.
Also, it's no real different from shoutcasting. Sadly, a lot of shoutcasters are out there doing exactly the same thing. They're streaming music that they don't actually have really the royalty systems in place to stream. I mean, obviously, if I got asked to cease and desist, then I would. And I did toy with the idea of, for the podcast version, because we stream it live as well,
mm-hmm.
and it is good to get people listening to the live streams, because that's where a lot of the interaction comes from. We get people calling in and messaging, and we have this really exciting system.
You do. You
we add people to a rolling conversation on Messenger, so we can have like 20 or 30 people
mm-hmm.
all conversing with each other. But so for that version, you know, we're playing music, and I thought, well, for the podcast one, I could just load the archive into SoundForge and edit out all the music and just do an all-talk podcast. And if worst comes to worst, then that's what we'll do. But
okay.
The reality is actually that we've been so busy. I've been very surprised by how busy we've been, because I actually thought the Moral Majority might boycott my new program. But
not at all.
But it's been great. And so we'll just play it by ear. It's great to be back doing that stuff, because I missed it.
Yeah, I can tell you enjoy it. You are having the time of your life there. How do you do it, though, for 4 hours? That's a significant chunk of time out of your week.
Or
5 hours in the case of this weekend, wasn't it?
Well, it's funny because it's longer than that, because a lot of the stuff I've done with pre-recorded interviews, obviously they take time to pre-record. I generally don't edit them much, but because a lot of my studio equipment is still back in New Zealand, I don't have quite the ability to put Skype calls to air and things like I used to when I had my full mixer and equipment. So I do pre-record a lot of stuff, and that takes a while. And also, for things like just the fun segments, like we did root beer tasting this week, I think
uh-huh.
you talked about that this morning. So we, you know, that takes time to actually go and select it, and then research the history of root beer and things like that. But it's what's good about it is that my partner Julia is really into this as well, and so it's actually after work in the evenings. It's what we do. We sort of spend a bit of time. And it takes the whole week to prepare for that 4-hour stint, and it's kind of like I'm looking forward to that 4 hours. It's a real highlight.
Y'all are recording right now, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, are you? Okay. Sorry.
But welcome to the conversation.
Yeah,
in fact, you're on two.
Hi, Jonathan. Tuck Tinsley.
How
good
are
to
you?
See you.
Good to see you.
Very nice to see you.
You're on two radio shows now, Tuck.
Right.
And let's introduce this man. This is the president of APH. You're on the Mosin Explosion and Blind Cool Tech, both, Tuck.
Blind Cool Tech and Mosin Explosion. That's absolutely wonderful.
Well, am I right in saying, Tuck, that you actually made a trip out to New Zealand?
I made a trip to Australia. I didn't get to New Zealand.
Oh, you didn't get to New Zealand. Okay. Well, that's outrageous.
But I will tell you that Russell Smith is one of the most compassionate people that I have ever dealt with in this business. He was just a very special person.
He sure was.
Well, and I know he was very sharp, but compassion was the thing that really really hit me. We had a situation where we had a product, Larry, you'll remember, Companion.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a situation that I didn't feel comfortable with, and we had a contract. And he came in with Mike Pedersen.
Yes.
But Russell just said, you know, there's no problem. If we don't feel comfortable with it, we don't do it. And just a gracious man. Very, very, very bright. I really, really did. We'll miss him, I'll tell you that.
He had a lot of integrity. And that's the interesting thing. He was such an unusual combination of shrewd engineer and very capable businessman, but also, as you say, he really cared.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he
really
certainly did. Well,
yeah.
How was your meeting today, fellas?
It was very productive.
Good.
That
was good.
Yeah, appreciate you coming in. Did you fly in from New Zealand?
No, I'm actually living in Texas these days, wasn't quite the travel.
In where?
In Lubbock.
In Larry, tell me how to say
Texas.
Big state. Texas. Oh, you're living in Lubbock. All right. Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That is wonderful.
Yeah, nice place, Lubbock.
Wonderful. Uh-huh. We have some visitors here, Larry, from AFB out of Washington. Mark Reichert and Paul Schrader. And I was just going to see if you wanted to say hey.
I would love
later,
to.
But maybe we go out to eat or whatever. I'll talk to you a little later. Jonathan, very good to see you.
And you. Good to see you.
Welcome to the United States.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you. Thanks for the interview.
Thank you.
What were we saying? We were talking about something very, very important, I'm sure.
I'm sure it was. Boy, this really makes us look dumb.
Oh, it was root beer, that's right. I knew it was important.
Yeah. Oh, and how much fun you guys have preparing
your
show.
Right. It's something we do together. It's relationship building. It's good.
I can tell y'all enjoy it.
Yeah, we do. We have a great time. That's coming up at mosenexplosion.com. I get a plug in there. And, of course, so you're blindcooltech.com, right?
Absolutely.
Blindcooltech.com. I was going to ask you about the book port. I'm interested in the book port, but I have never been able to understand. I mean, I know that speech is a really subjective thing.
Yeah.
But I can generally get by with any speech, but I cannot understand double talk speech.
There's a few people like that.
And so what I want to know is, are y'all going to put other speech in there?
Well, you know already now you can generate an audio file, an MP3 file on your PC with whatever speech you want, right?
Oh, sure.
And then send it over as audio. So
yeah.
I've done that a few times, especially like in Adobe Reader, like with a protected book, I'll just have it read it out and record it and send it over with good speech. But as far as the synthesizer that's in it now, you know, we're only running, I mean, we're running low power because we're lasting 60 hours on a set of AA batteries, and we can't run AT&T Natural Voices on it.
Oh, sure. But I mean, when I look at the fact that, say, Eloquence is running on Symbian, that must have a pretty small footprint. Or even DeckTalk. I mean, DeckTalk's got an even smaller footprint.
Yeah, it does. You know, the thing about Eloquence, though, is it requires an operating system. And BookPort doesn't have one. They're not a commercial one. It's got its own homespun. Uses FAT and FAT32, but everything is proprietary about the whole OS and the unit, and Eloquence won't work on it.
Okay.
I mean, theoretically, we've got the horsepower, RAM, and the processor to run it. Now, DeckTalk's a possibility, and that's something we're looking into.
It doesn't sound like it used to, does it? Have you noticed that? Have you heard the new iterations?
It is different. I can't put my finger on what's different about it. I actually don't think it sounds quite as good, to be honest with you.
I agree. I do sort of wonder why people must break things.
I can't believe they didn't notice that as they were as they were breaking
it. They think it sounds better.
Don't know about all that.
Yeah. You guys are doing some really awesome stuff. I was just saying before we started recording this that for all of the review work I do, all the spoken word stuff, I use Studio Recorder all the time. And in fact, I read to my kids at the moment. We're getting through Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince,
mm-hmm.
and I'm reading 20 to 25 minutes of that a day and sending it back to them as an MP3 file, and I use Studio Recorder for that because, you know, I love my SoundForge, but in terms of just dropping in, going back, rewinding a fraction and dropping it at the end of a sentence,
You
just can't beat Studio Recorder for that.
No, that phrase detection is some amazing stuff, and you know, Studio Recorder is spoken word content oriented,
Yeah.
So your kids are in New Zealand now? You've got four kids, I think I heard you say. And how old are they?
They are 9, 7, 5, and 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are you Catholic?
Everybody says that. I couldn't be further from Catholic. I miss them very much. And it was Father's Day in New Zealand last Sunday. And so I got all these lovely presents. And while separations are difficult at the best of times where there are children involved, it can be easy now if you put the effort in. We when they get up in the morning and they get dressed and clean their teeth and stuff, and before school they call me on Skype, which is generally about 3 in the afternoon here.
Oh, perfect.
And we talk for about 20 minutes and I get their homework, so I help them with the spelling and all that kind of thing. And
nice.
Then, you know, if I'm up at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, then they'll they'll call again, and they have the MP3 file of whatever story I'm reading. So it's amazing how, you know, it, nothing replaces a cuddle, but it is amazing how you can keep in touch and still stay relevant and be part of their lives.
That is staying awful close for that far apart. That's amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm only here until about May or June next year when Julia graduates, and then we're all heading back, and I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, it's an experience being here, and the people in Lubbock are very nice.
Oh, they are,
great people around this part of the U.S., I think.
Now, have you met Nora Griffin Shirley out there in Lubbock? She teaches at the university there.
I think I have met one of them, yes. Julia knows a lot of those, a lot of them well, and they kind of organized this evening. When Julia told them all about us, they said, "Oh, we must have a viewing."
We have a viewing. There you go.
So I kind of had to turn up for the Inquisition.
Now, Julia's from Lubbock, is that right?
No, she's from a much smaller part of Texas, but she's in Lubbock to study, and she's doing 2 degrees, one in performance flute. She's an amazing flautist, and actually we're going to play some of her fluting this week's show.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that.
Complete with piano accompaniment. Mm-hmm. And she's also doing psychology as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which can be quite scary when, you know, all the mumbo jumbo starts coming out, you know. Very left wing sometimes in psychology.
Absolutely.
Because you have Liz on your podcast a bit too, which is fun.
Yeah, and you know what? She acts like she doesn't like to do it. Like we did a museum this weekend, and I said, "Blind cool tech." She goes, "Oh no!" You know? And I told her, "We live this stuff."
Now, here's the big question everybody wants me to ask you: do you still have the unedited version of the Clinton Library podcast?
I hope not, because I might accidentally upload it again somewhere.
So did you intend to do that, or was it an accident?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. You know this.
Give me the scoop on the motion explosion.
This, all right. This all happened.
Information to leak, man.
Oh, I already told it, the story, because somebody caught it and sent me an email, and I pulled it down and listened to it, and I groaned very big. What happened? You know, this after I got back, this was this whole mess when I was trying to move everything over. And I had also just discovered this new program called Direct MP3 Splitter. And I found out that unencoding these MP3 files and then re-encoding them was not the way to go, because
right,
you lose
you
so much.
You introduce artifacts. Like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
So I split this thing up, because I always start it and just let it go, because I don't want to take the risk of it, you know, me forgetting if I'm on hold or whatever. And then I'll go and cut out, like, the beginning, riding in the car up to the place, and then the trip to the bathroom. Those are the only two things I cut out. Well, I got it all cut out and then put it back together, and then I sent the wrong file back up there.
Oh, no. So,
it was a mess. This all happened, like, at 3 in the morning. I didn't have any sleep. You know, the funny thing is, I listened to it to make sure it was out of there, too.
Unfortunately, it was the source of some very bad puns on the blind casting list.
Oh, tell us about them. I'm not on that list.
Oh, well, I think a number of us had a go, so to speak. I made the point that a friend of mine listened to the original unedited version and was quite flushed after listening to it. But by the time I downloaded it, you'd edited it, so I had absolutely nothing to go on. And that I felt that if you weren't careful, they'd put you in a penal institution.
Well, it was awful appropriate that the scandal happened at the Clinton Library, too, I thought. You know.
There must be something in the vibes there. But do you know that there's this great excitement in Lubbock at the moment, because they believe they're really in with a chance to have the George W. Bush.
That's what I heard on your show.
Yeah, that's
neat. Do they actually think they have a chance?
They think they have a real chance. I think they've already raised about 30 mil.
Wow.
And they believe, and I guess it will be a huge boost to the economy and to
Absolutely.
The university, because the political science department's going to have a ball with that if they get it. You know, because it's a very significant period, especially the first term of the Bush presidency was a very significant period in world history, and so there will be lots of interesting information in there. So it's going to be good. And so, can you keep up this momentum with all this podcasting that you're doing?
Well, I think so. I think I've got a system worked out. I think you and some other people have made fun of my.
What do you call it? All I said on the blindcast list was that it's just a question of, I don't know where so many of these blind people get the time to listen to all this stuff, because I subscribe to a whole lot of stuff and I think, wow, that sounds good, and it all just accumulates in my iPod, and that's so all I said was, I wanted to benefit from your wisdom, but I probably didn't have time to listen to the walks to work. That's what I said.
Well, I spout off a lot of wisdom on the way to work.
I have had people who say, is it safe for you to be podcasting while you're... I mean, do you get anybody asking you that?
I haven't, but I've noticed it's not safe. I ran a red light the other day, and I didn't even know it till I got across the street, and I talked about it the next day. It's like talking on the cell phone while you're driving. You're not devoting your full attention, so I'm consciously trying to do a little better at that. But no, it's not totally safe.
So you've got the iRiver, and then you've got these new high-tech microphones.
Yeah, and these things fit over each ear like the arms on a pair of glasses. So they just hang over your ear, and the microphone sits right in front of your ear, so it's not blocking your hearing or anything. And it's amazing. I don't know if you've listened to any of them with headphones.
I have the stereo imagery. It's just...
It is.
You actually... I was listening to one of your podcasts on my Bose... quiet comfort headphones, which are they're the best quality that I've heard, actually. And I almost thought I was in the traffic at one point. It was...
Well, I've had people call out at me, and I've thought that it was in the podcast and not answer, like I'll hear somebody talk, and vice versa. Somebody in the podcast will say something, and I'll, huh? So they do sound real. I really regret. I did one of a roller coaster ride here a couple of weeks ago, but it's way too much wind noise in them. And I was doing everything I could to get my hands up above my ears, but I was too scared to let go of that bar.
I think the most bizarre broadcast that I've done, and I should play it again, is we have in Christchurch this device called a slingshot, and it's... Have you heard of bungee jumping?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, well, it's like a reverse bungee. So what happens is that there's this
long...
You sit in this capsule, and there's this really, really, really long, strong elastic cord, and you go up and up and up, and then they release the tension, and it goes ping, and you just shoot down at this incredibly disgusting rate, and your stomach kind of stays up.
I bet it does.
And they had... like a number of these attractions, they had a video camera, so you could buy the video. And I said to them, do you have microphones on there? And they said, yes, they do. And I thought, well, I'll get this video. And just in case, I thought there'd be heaps of wind noise, because there normally is. And I, just in case, I decided I'd take my brother, who's a very conservative old dude sometimes, on this thing for his 50th birthday. And we would act as if we were broadcasting it, just in case we could use it, and it came out absolutely beautifully, and gosh, it's hilarious.
Oh, please do play that, and look forward to hearing that. You know what, I hate to do this, I have got to wrap up though, because my bowling partner's waiting for me out there in the parking lot.
Oh, that's far too important. Well, this has been fun.
It has. Good seeing you, Jonathan.
I just
again.
Love all the work that you're doing, and keep doing the studio recorder thing, because I love that.
Hey, we've got a new version in beta right now. Check it out. It actually mainly is external controller support, which is kind of neat, because you can... One of the things I've been wanting to do with studio recorder is to be able to record while you're not in the application, so you can just press a button on the controller, and no matter what's got focus, you know you're recording and so forth.
So that's a hardware controller.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, cool.
Yep.
All right, well, thanks, Darius. This has been fun.
It has. Good seeing you again.